Are you ready, Keith, for maybe a light at the end of the tunnel?
Oh, I think so.
Maybe a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes, I gathered that. I was listening to Mayo Monday, as I always do.
Yeah, you should.
Tremendous interview with the Greg Hill Show earlier this morning. And you know what he didn't do?
Didn't say Jacoby 100%.
Correct. He says he's still going to talk it over. Still have the meeting.
Got a squad meeting coming up.
Squad meeting.
You know what? We're here at Gillette today. Maybe we get the invite to the squad meeting.
Now, normally it was Sunday night. He would always say, yeah, Brissett's our guy. You know, look at the tape. Always a competition, but Brissett's the guy. Monday morning, definitely Brissett's the guy. Did not hear that this morning. I think we're getting Drake May week 6.
Okay, so that would be a light at the end of the tunnel what yesterday felt like rock bottom. We'll get to all of it here today on Jones and Keefe. As I mentioned, we are live today at Gillette Stadium following the Patriots 15-10 loss yesterday here at Gillette to the Miami Dolphins. It was ugly. It was all levels of the organization. Offense struggled to move the ball. Defense struggled to get stops when it mattered. Coaching was over their head, but let's start with what feels like a developing story that began here today on WEEI with, as Keith mentioned, the interview with Jerod Mayo, who basically didn't commit to Jacoby Brissett, said we haven't had our staff meeting yet. To me, that meant the door was ajar. Mike Reese says, opinion analysis. Reese doesn't normally dabble in that world, right?
Analysis.
Reese is he's a facts guy,
yep.
Does not normally dabble in the opinion analysis. He says it was a notable shift in Jerod Mayo's answers today regarding the quarterback situation. In his day-after-game video conference, Mayo said last week the way the team won its only game against Cincinnati in the opener was unsustainable. He seems to strongly be considering a switch to Drake May. That was Reese's analysis. Schefter, quote tweets it. He says, a quarterback change could soon be coming to New England with rookie quarterback Drake May potentially starting Sunday against the Houston Texans. So there's no firm reporting on that, but Reese, Schefter both seem to be pointing to it. Our ears caught the same thing.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely different. We've listened to Mayo every single week, whether it's on the morning show, whether it's post-game press conference, whether it's his press conference during the middle of the week, and he's always been the plan. You know, Brissett is tough. You know, he really compliments Brissett, but this was one where you know, he was talking about the lack of execution, and he's been talking, even going back to the one win they have, about they need to throw the ball. It's 2024 in the NFL. You need to be able to throw the ball downfield. They have not been able to do so. And it's not just an offensive line issue, not to say that the offensive line is great. I'm not saying that. But it is everywhere. And if you can make any kind of improvement to the team, shouldn't you do that? We're 5 weeks in. It's not like you have a stud receiver, a stud lineman, a stud tight end, a stud running back not playing. But you have maybe a stud quarterback sitting there not playing, so I think they finally need to put him in.
Yeah, you have Jacoby Brissett throwing over the middle of the field with no timeouts.
He's supposed to be the veteran guy that has been around the block.
What the hell?
Yeah. What is that?
Like, so this to me, all of this development today lends credence to the teetering on a mutiny report from last week. Like, all of it. It was all with the quarterback at the heart of it. The team's ready to freak out and flip out.
Mm-hmm.
And a week later, when they were teetering on a mutiny, they lose. It's brutal. They can't score. The only time they do score is on a short field. They're running the football all day.
Back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
Short field thing.
Well, true.
Yeah.
They're running the football all day. They get away from running the football, which is a coaching thing, but they can't throw. They can throw.
No.
And the team is teetering on a mutiny. Well, now maybe the mutiny's here because yesterday was ugly. And again, not to keep leaning on Mike Reese here, but he wrote after the game, rock bottom is what this was.
Oof.
It's the first time you started 1-4. In back-to-back years since 92-93.
So those were not great.
The very, very, very beginning of Parcells and Bledsoe. That's where you're at. The defense hung in the game, Reese writes. New England displayed a mostly punchless offense and was penalized 12 times for 104 yards. We'll get to that. It feels like a Patriots team from the early 90s when they played uninspiring offensive football and were annual favorites for the first overall pick.
They didn't even have Bledsoe for one of those 2 years.
92, they did not. Put him in position to get Bledsoe in 93, where they started 1-4 again. So
Travis Hunter.
That's where it feels like where you're at. And again, this is not a bomb thrower. This is not a hot taker. This is Reese. And so that's why we're here. You were teetering on a mutiny last week. You went out and laid a turd. And now it's time to play the rookie quarterback. And it sounds like finally, mercifully, it's going to happen. I think it's a week. Well, maybe 5 weeks too late, but obviously a week too late. This should have happened against Miami. If you play Drake May all year, you might be 2-3, 3-2, you might win some of these games.
There's some games to be had. Because you know what my Keefspiracy is on this?
Let's hear it.
I think you're going to really enjoy this.
Okay.
So, against the Jets, go back a couple of weeks ago, the Jets have a bad run defense, and yet they went away from the run and they were trying to throw it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Alex Van Pelt, friend of the show, has heard a lot of criticism about how they can't throw it, and not just from idiots like us, but from Mayo himself, right?
Yeah.
Like he says,
well, idiots like you. Well, he seems to not like you specifically.
No, I think
it's you.
Your tone.
I think it's you.
And so they.
That was so. Fair who enough. Was that to?
That was to me.
That was to you.
But I think it applied to you as well. But my point is, they can't throw it. He knows they can't throw it, so he's trying to justify the decision to stick with Jacoby Brissett. That they're trying, they're forcing to throw. Yesterday is the best example. They were averaging 8 yards a carry.
Ridiculous.
And then they're chucking it all over the yard in a game in which they're winning. And then even when they were trailing, they were down by less than a score. So that final stretch where they had the ball on the Miami 12-yard line and they had all three timeouts and they threw it 4 times. That is a direct. See, yes, we can. Yes, we can throw it. Yes, we can throw it. If they hand the ball to Stevenson or Gibson twice, they probably win the game. But they're so focused on, no, this can work. Because they know they screwed up the Drake May decision early on, and they were trying to justify their decision. Because if all of a sudden they win on a passing touchdown or Jacoby has 250 in the air, oh, everybody's dumb. See, this is working. This is actually, the plan's actually working. But what they didn't account for was just how poor Brissett was going to play. I think this goes all the way back to when they signed him, and they were like, hey, he could start for a little while. He'll eventually turn it over. But we thought we knew what the floor was. Us, them, I think we all thought, we like, all right, here's the Jacoby Brissett floor. Unfortunately, it's like a couple floors down.
Yeah, and this to me feels like the real shift. Like, you and I, and you guys can jump in all day, by the way, 617-779-7937. A lot of ways you can get in touch with Jones and Keefe live from Gillette Stadium. You can text the show at 37937. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Watch us live on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Lovely backdrop today.
Look at this.
I don't want to out-Nick.
25 total points were scored at this field yesterday.
I don't want to out-Nick for his joke earlier, but he said all the fans from yesterday remain in the stands, as you can see behind us yesterday. So that's where we are here today. You can also watch on YouTube.com/WEEI. Just subscribe there. Watch on the live feeds, or you can check out our interview last week with Alex Van Pelt. Among other things, we're going to be joined by a couple of Patriots players today on a Patriots Monday. Who knows, Keith? Maybe we talk to him after the squad meeting, and we get some news here
maybe
on
we'll
the Jones
know.
And Keith program.
Maybe
today.
When Hunter Henry joins us, he'll know who the starting quarterback is.
He's like, yeah, you know what? You guys, I want to tell you guys. I wanted you to be the first to know.
It's a strange season, Jones, so I wouldn't rule anything out.
No, look, we'll ask. I don't know what we're going to hear, but we'll ask. So when it comes to Jacoby Brissett, I think this is the change.
Yeah.
They can't defend his play anymore. Like early on in the year, oh, he's tough. Oh, it's a miracle what he's doing out there. A lot of other quarterbacks couldn't do this. He's evading pressure like he was against Cincinnati and keeping him out of sacks, even though the next week against Seattle, he took a brutal sack that knocked him out of field goal range and maybe cost him the game. So now you had that final drive yesterday where he is throwing over the middle of the field and doing exactly what Miami wants. The one thing he can't do, you throw to the sideline, you throw in the end zone. Even Mark Sanchez on the broadcast knows that.
Yeah, that's a bad sign when Mark Sanchez was pointing out all the things.
Mark Sanchez is like, I wouldn't throw that. And you're like, wait a minute, Mark Sanchez wouldn't throw that.
No.
Why is Jacoby Brissett doing it?
Yeah.
He had more time yesterday. The offensive line felt better, not great. Just better.
I don't think anybody got hurt. Was that the first week that everybody that started played the whole game?
Healthy offensive line intact. They moved Onwenu back to guard. It felt like it was better. Again, not great. Better. And so that to me would be the reason to make the switch because they can't defend Jacoby Brissett anymore. If you want to look at the offensive line and look at the weapons and look at the roster they have, it's a bad team. The coaching around them is bad. But as much as you can separate out the quarterback play and make it just about the way Brissett played yesterday, you can't defend it anymore. And that's why they're not going to.
Right,
they're going to make a change.
That's why they need to do something. And, you know, save the season is obviously strong. It comes across as like, oh, what, like a playoff appearance? Mm-hmm. No. Just having the guys play hard the rest of the way and not sort of, you know, if guys are already playing for themselves on defense is what we heard, or if guys on offense are starting to kind of question the decision-making, you make this change, maybe it sparks them a little bit. No one's saying you're going to rip off 5-6 wins, but maybe you just start to play better, and for a lot of these guys that come back next year, you're in a much better position. So that's kind of, I think, what you're hoping for. But I still go back to Brissett, like, he has played really poorly, but I think his play caller hasn't helped him at all.
Great.
So this is where I would start because they were running the ball great yesterday, whether it was Gibson or Ramondre. Ramondre obviously had the long run. So Gibson had a long run. Go ahead.
Can I give you a couple of numbers?
Yeah, please.
Okay, I was reading Bedard after the game. He says, despite leading for nearly the entire game, Van Pelt called 36 dropbacks that produced 160 yards.
That's insane.
He called just 18 running plays despite 141 yards.
Ramondre averaged 7.4 and Gibson averaged 8.7.
It was a Patriots record. In terms of, not even exaggerating, it was a Patriots record in terms of yards per carry per game. And they dropped back 36 times for 160 yards. They ran 18 times for 141 yards. Meanwhile, Miami figured it out. McDaniel, who I ripped all last week,
yeah.
McDaniel figured it out. They ran all second half, and the Patriots couldn't stop him. 56 right. yards, field goal. 57 yards, field goal. 80 yards, touchdown. Their whole final game-winning drive. Run. The whole drive they ran down the field. And the Patriots, despite being arguably the better running team, got away from it, tried to throw, and yeah, Van Pelt's a huge problem.
I thought the first series was pretty indicative of the whole thing. So they decide to sit Ramondre Stevenson, right? That's his punishment.
Yeah.
He sits for the first drive, fine. Antonio Gibson, 7 yards right off the rip. Then pass play where Brissett holds onto it too long, sack. Pass play where the offensive line breaks down, sack, punt. Like, if you need a three and out, if you need a team to get you a three and out, the Patriots are your team.
They are your squad.
But so Gibson, first carry of the game, 7 yards. I don't think he got another carry till the second half. Like, he wasn't even involved in the offense at all. He ended with only six, and he had 52 yards. So, like, give the guy the ball more. And then, so the first possession I thought was pretty indicative of what it was. Hey, successful run, but no, we're a passing team. Like, you're not a passing team.
No.
Which is so bizarre because Alex Van Pelt came from one of the few run-first teams, right, last year. And then, what the hell? Is that mic on over there? Hello? I think your mic's on. So they go, and he even talked when he first got here about how he's going to run the ball, right? And I was like, run the ball now? But that's the personnel that they have. They probably should run the ball. And then, no, this game and the Jets game, they think they're a passing team. Those are two teams that you can run it against. And they proved it yesterday, and they went away from it. It's one thing if all of a sudden you're down by 14. All right, you probably have to throw it a little bit.
Yeah.
But they weren't. They played with the lead the whole time.
You were in control of the game.
And they were still chucking it around. Three and out punt. Let's get the defense back out there. So defense and special teams, pretty good. I mean, I know they weren't going up against, you know, Dan Marino, but still, like, the defensive special teams held up there under the bargain. This was a loss that was 100% on the offense.
Yeah, 100% on the offense. And, yeah, if you want to split it, Brissett and Van Pelt, go ahead and split it. I would lean more quarterback than Van Pelt, but Van Pelt's a big part of the problem with, again, leaning too much on the throw, not leaning enough on the run when it was working, when the game script was in your favor, you were in control of the game. And, you know, furthermore, I think Mayo today, and I forget if it was in Greg's interview or if it was afterwards with the media, but he said something to the effect of it was a carbon copy of Seattle, the way they handled right before halftime, where you get a run for 8 yards on first down. Bare minimum, you want Miami to burn their timeouts. And I guess they're going for, like, the double score. Like, you have
Tom Brady. Which I thought was
hilarious. Tom Brady out there.
He was like, they might go double score. I'm like, in the game total? Like, how many scores do you think they're going to have? Like, did he watch any of the game? He's like, they could do it. And he was even saying it both ways. It was hilarious. He was like, well, Miami, they also might want to get a stop, and then maybe they'll score. I'm like, neither team's going to score again, Mark. Like, just let it, like, bleed out. But, you know, that was a great example of they didn't really know what they were doing. Right, so they either could have gone like a hurry up and try to get it going, or just bled clock, and they sort of found themselves somewhere in the middle. And you're like, all right, I don't think you had any idea what your plan was.
So again, so why would they be making some of these switches? It's that Brissett is too inaccurate to even attempt to try to get that double score. It is the play calling that is flawed in terms of its approach and appears to be getting worse. Even when I think you're getting better personnel on the field, like you're getting more and more Jalen Polk, you're getting more and more Pop Douglas. And again, we're beggars can't be choosers here. It's not like you have Randy Moss out there running routes, but you're getting your better personnel off the field. You're getting better on the offensive line.
Yeah.
And somehow you're getting worse and less competitive in some of these games, at least offensively less competitive, in some of these games that are winnable. As a winnable game yesterday, you were favored in that game yesterday, at least early in the week. You were favored in that game. So what goes on? But I think right before the half is indicative again of Van Pelt and his lack of a grasp on play calling in today's NFL, or at least play calling with the personnel that he has.
Yeah, I just – it's really bizarre to me because I think also why this game, it just feels so much worse is just for a moment, let's look at how bad the Dolphins are. Like, they are a mess. They're on their fourth quarterback.
Yep.
That guy wasn't even on the team at the beginning of the year. He's their starting quarterback right now. One of their best defensive players is out for the season. They do have two great receivers, but they can't get those guys the ball for whatever reason. Mike McDaniel, maybe the shine is certainly off of him. I liked him, hand in the air. I was a fan. Playoffs in consecutive years made Tua look like an MVP, but maybe Tua deserves a lot more credit because since he's gone down, the offense is a bit of a mess. But they were favored to win the game. Like, yep. they were, you know, albeit a 1-point favorite, but still at home, a chance to end this losing streak in a game that you're winning most of the game. That's the perfect formula to hand the ball to Ramondre and Gibson and just, even if you don't score, because there wasn't a lot of scoring yesterday, what's wrong with a 4-minute kind of drive to nowhere and then have Behringer, you know, pin him deep? You have a good punter. This isn't a way to win a ton of games, but you could have won yesterday that way. You know, punt the ball inside the 10-yard line, make Snoop Huntley go 90 yards, no chance. So they didn't do it that way, and it's strange because it felt like this would have been the formula, like the way they beat Cincinnati. Similar score, wasn't it 16-10?
In the same kind of game.
Same exact kind of game, and yet they wanted to prove everybody wrong that they could throw it.
It's the same kind of game as Cincinnati. It was the same kind of, like, situational failure that you had against Seattle. I guess it was more competitive overall than the last 2 weeks against the Jets and the Niners, but it was also a way, way, way worse opponent.
Right.
And offensively, you looked miserable, at least throwing the football yesterday, which is why we might be on the heels of a quarterback change. Again, if you're just tuning in, Schefter breathing life into the idea that the Patriots could make a quarterback change this weekend against Houston here at Gillette Stadium. Reese is on board with that. He sensed a notable shift with Gerard Mayo today on WEEI. I think we all did. Yeah. And the question becomes, all right, whose call is it? Why are they doing it? And is it the right time to do it? You can jump in, 617-779-7937. If they make the switch, whose call is it?
Mayo said today it's his call.
Right.
Now, again,
right,
you can choose to believe it.
But whose call is it?
I think it might be Mayo's call because I think he is the one having to answer these questions. And I think he was probably on board as much as you can be with letting the offensive guys do offense, kind of trusting them a little bit. Right, like that's your job, whether it's the GM and Elliott Wolf or the offensive coordinator, be like, this is how you think it's the way to go. I'm sure Mayo also looked at the offensive line and was like, all right, like we don't need to throw this guy to the Wolves. But I think he wanted to play him certainly a lot sooner. Maybe not week one, I don't know. But I think sooner than week six. Mm-hmm. But I think ultimately he's like, all right, guys, we tried it your way. I'm the one out there having to answer questions all the time. We're 1-4, and we have the worst passing offense in the NFL. So if we don't make a change now, when will we make a change? That's what I think.
Yeah, so, and I hear what you're saying. Like, look, we tried it your way. Now I'm going to, you know, exert my input, and I'm going to make the change. To me, I agree with you. I think Mayo wanted Drake May to be out there week one. And so the fact that now there's a change, and Mayo's wanted to make the change, probably never wanted to go with Brissett in the first place, speaks to somebody else being in control of this decision. I would look to ownership. You know, I would look
you
to Robert.
They said enough is
enough? Well, just look at the stadium yesterday.
That's what I thought was a big, could be a factor.
It was empty.
Yeah.
I think the boos would have been louder if there were more people, but they were getting booed right on their first drive yesterday. You know, you hear them go 3-and-out, you hear the boos start up before they get the pick from Gonzalez in the short field and they get in the end zone. You already heard it yesterday.
And also, sometimes no boos or quiet boos
is almost worse.
Yes.
The indifference.
Yes. Classic wrestling, right? Take wrestling. You want them either cheering or booing. You don't want them just to be sitting on their hands or, like, not paying attention or, like, walking out.
You want them to care.
Yes.
You want them to at least
care. Are they
invested? The answer to me would be no.
Yeah, it
doesn't seem
like it.
What is the impetus for the change? I think it's certainly on the field with Jacoby Brissett, but I think there's a business aspect to it as well. I think it's part of the reason they drafted Drake May at 3.
They are home week 6, so he's not going to be starting on the road, right?
Yeah.
He's starting here.
And you can't start – I don't think anyway you can start him in London. Like, that's a chaotic schedule thing.
People might sleep in and miss it.
You know, you didn't – he did play against the Jets before, so I guess you could do the Jets in week 8. But if you're already looking ahead to week 8 and making the switch, make it now. And I think it's part of the reason they drafted Drake May. Business. I think ownership was influential in that draft pick. I think they'd be influential in this decision. And so whose call is it? You guys can jump in on that as well at 617-779-7937. It might take rock bottom. And yesterday, make no mistake, probably was rock bottom for this team. Maybe the worst it's been around here since the early 90s for the New England Patriots. but it sounds like today there is a bit of a light at the end of the tunnel.
Ooh.
A bit of a light
a little bit.
At the end of the tunnel. Bit. And we may have a new starting quarterback in New England before the day's out, Keith.
Love it.
It's Patriots Monday. We're at Gillette Stadium. We're going to be joined by a couple of Patriots players here in person. We'll get to what happened, take you around week five of the NFL. That's about an hour from now. We'll do all our normal things as well, misleading. We'll revisit Jerod Mayo today on the Greg Hill Show, leaving the door open for a quarterback change, grab bag, things like that as well, plus all your phone calls. Let's get into the offense, their struggles. Is it about personnel? Is it about coaching? Right after Trending with Billy Lanning.